The truth is always out there, sometimes way out there, with the Midweek Drive team on Siren 107.3 FM.
So you see, Camo, they were obviously testing us. They hear your dulcet tones. They think it's all right. Camo is back. We can return. Natasha Armstrong's back with us. Yay, Natasha!
Yay, glad to be back!
Yay! Holly McGrattan's back with us. Yay, Holly!
Yay, me!
Yay! Kaylee Umfraville's back with us. Yay, Kaylee!
Woo!
Yay! And Martina is doing double duty because she's read the news and she's leading now. It's nothing personal. Don't worry, Camo. She'll be back in a second now. It's just, you know, the thing with country music. Sometimes you've got to prepare for the news and all sorts of other bits and pieces. So a sort of half yay for Natasha. A kind of yay. There we are. So where have you been, Camo, from Nashville?
Just doing stuff.
Yes, just doing stuff. As doing Holly stuff. Will attest to, last week, we didn't even have any introduction. We couldn't even get a substitute. We had to just basically run it, cold. Actually, Holly can't attest to that because she was at a film festival.
Yes.
But, and Natasha wasn't in, but Kaylee could attest to this. No, you can't because you weren't here either. Somebody can, I'm sure. Nevertheless, we can at least say that Hotels and Highways, a brand new project from a man who's actually returned to the country music scene after taking a 20-year hiatus away from the spotlight. Good news, ladies, Camo didn't decide to take a 20-year gap from the Midweek Drive. Otherwise, I might have been dead.
Yeah.
You don't know. You don't know what could happen in that sort of basis. So, Camo, would you like to take us dexterously into the wonderful choice, as evidenced by yourself, because people have been waiting for the Siren 107. The only way that, as a naturalized American citizen, originally from Canada, you can deliver this. So it's very important. Over to you, sir.
We can put the Canada thing to bed.
I don't think so.
I got the pleasure. Yes, I do. Last week I got the opportunity to speak to Terry McBride. Now, Terry had a ton of hits in the early 90s with his band McBride and a Ride, one of my favorite bands to come out of that era. They disbanded in 95 after winning a bunch of awards, but he hasn't been completely gone. He's written songs for Garth Brooks, George Strait, Reba McEntire, Brooks and Dunn. In fact, he wrote the song Play Something Country with Ronnie Dunn, which was the fastest rising single of Brooks and Dunn's career and also the final number one song for the duo. He's had over 25 songs recorded by Brooks and Dunn, leading to 13 singles, 12 BMI Millionaire Awards. He's written for other people, too, like Alan Jackson, Trace Adkins, Easton Corbin, Kenny Rogers, just so many names. He's finally back. When I saw the notice that he was putting out a new EP, I was stoked because his songs are just always so good, and I think you're really going to like this. The EP's out now. You can get it on iTunes and all sorts of places. Please buy it. Don't just stream it because buying actually pays these guys. His name is Terry McBride. The title track from his brand new EP, this is called Hotels and Highways on Siren FM.
I was born with a restless, rambling heart, not one to be fenced in. Before I can hang my hat, I'm already gone again. Girl, you need to know before you go and fall too hard. My roots are wrapped around a pair of taillights in the dark. Hotels and highways, it's all on the floor. It's all staring at walls and late night calls from my home away from home. Hotels and highways, yeah. A guy like me is used to getting lost out on the road. I move too quick to see where a kiss like this might go. So I hold you close. and make the most of this setting sun going down. And like a leaving song, I'll be long gone before it rolls back around. Hotels and highways, it's all I've ever known. More miles and memories of falling asleep alone, waking up to the hum of the traffic. Your whole life in a suitcase on the floor. It's all staring at walls and late night calls from my home away from home. Hotels and highways, yeah. You get used to the hum of the traffic at the door. Your whole life in a suitcase on the floor. It's all staring at walls and late night calls from my home away from home. Hotels and highways, yeah. Hotels and highways, yeah. Hotels, 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 hotels.
Quite sort of Bryan Adams-esque, really, in terms of the image we see of Terry McBride there. What do you think, Holly?
Yeah, I'll go with that.
And Kaylee, what did you make of Hotels and Highways?
I thought it was very relaxing. I could listen to it and it was very calming.
That's good. You know, that sets a whole routine. I think just passed on the current delegate list for the Telefantasy Society Symposium. Holly, bless her heart, thought she had to sort of register separately, even though as a Madrid driver she gets a card carrying pass as a student ambassador of the whole thing.
Yes, didn't realise it came with benefits.
It's all part of the whole scenario. And Natasha, Terry McBride, Hotels and Highways.
Yeah, I really enjoyed that. Did you say it was 20 years he's been out, Camo?
Kind of, yeah. The band broke up in the mid to late 90s. But, you know, in between then, he's been doing a lot of writing and stuff. And I sat down with him last week, and it was great. We just kind of talked about what inspired him to come back and be back in the studio and back on the road. He just actually played a show with Tracy Byrd and Aaron Watson, and Aaron's been over to the UK a few times, so I think big things are going to happen again for Terry.
Yeah, definitely. It's great to have him back if he's going to come and sing like that, yeah.
Sound and Country Vision, yeah. Volume 7 will have its airing tomorrow at 7:02 p.m. UK time. That, I believe, would be 1:02 p.m. Central, I think. I'll be going confused. Of course, next week is going to be more calculated because I believe, Camo, do you not spring forward next week and go forward an hour as opposed to us going forward an hour, which is slightly odd? It's just
this weekend.
Yeah, well, you see, that's it, you see.
This
so you will be sort of jumping ahead. We don't sort of quite move as quickly as the Earth continues to revolve around the sun. I could go on to talk about the joys of actually sort of being Canadian, but I won't. So, because obviously, yeah, I've got a sensitivity to obviously Camo's sort of background, although I can't understand why. I mean, you know, I always like to talk about the whole thing in many a way. You know, it's a boot the toot. But anyway, life continues. And Holly, after mentioning that tomorrow's Sound and Country Vision is actually Camo free, because obviously it was originally recorded when he was in Twilight Zone of the CMA Awards and so on. So it's just Tessa. And Hannah Brown. Yeah, Hannah Brown steps into Camo's place. It's astounding. Worth listening to just for that, Camo, to hear her Nashville accent.
There you go.
Anyway, Holly, would you like to put those last two questions to Camo, please?
Camo, have you enjoyed your telephonic link with us today?
Yep, it's been fun.
Good. And will you be joining us again?
I'll be back next week.
He's got very laconic, isn't he? I think, you know, as he becomes more chronologically gifted, he becomes more and more laconic, really. You know, he will be much more losing into John Wayne. It'll be Camo Wayne before too long. I guarantee it.
Making plans for Nigel. Nigel just needs this helping hand. And if young Nigel says he's happy, he must be happy. He must be happy. He must be happy in his world.
guarantee in about 60 seconds or so from now, we'll have the Midweek Driveouts going, ah, I guarantee it. It's 15 and a half minutes past 5 o'clock, and it's Lincoln's First Community Radio Station, Siren FM. And in Jersey, we have Anna Lewis, don't we, Anna?
Yes,
she does. Yes.
Yay.
And here is Anna with her little dog, Toby. And what's the response?
Oh.
You see? Hey, there you are. You see? Yes. Anna and her little dog, Toby. Amazing what surfaces from a clean out of photographs or even clear out. Anna, share with us and the listener, of course, who might not necessarily be aware. I presume this is a real dog. It's not a made up puppet.
But I'll tell you the awful story. I'll cut it short. That dog was an inheritance from some friend of my mother's who died very elderly, and the dog was about 11. And it was obvious to me and my mum that the dog was really fragile, but of course, being a boisterous 7 to 9 year old, I treated the dog as you would a puppy.
Wow.
And my mum lied
attack,
to me.
Heart attack.
She told me that the dog had gone to the vets for a tooth operation and had died on the operating table. But in fact, she'd given it to my next door neighbour but one.
No.
And the dog had hair trim and I didn't recognise it. And they kept saying, it's not Toby, it's Twinkle or Trixie or something. And I believed her. And then when I was about 18, my mum admitted the truth. And she said, Toby was the dog that we gave Mrs. Fisher at number 13. And I said, you're kidding. So it was kept as a, for 10 years, my mother kept the true sort of identity of that dog away from me.
This
is sad.
This is just one of the ways in which Anna Lewis's correspondence from Jersey and an audio perspective can lead to Academy Award winning screenplays.
Yes, it could.
You can see Emma Stone at this moment now portraying the young Anna when she realises at 18 that the truth is it was her dog all along.
It was my dog after all.
I can't believe that.
I know. Well, I was really more. I didn't know whether to laugh or cry when my mum told me, because I used to love that dog. But the truth, it was a really manky old thing, and it was falling to bits. So, you know, I think I did probably rough handle it a bit.
And how long did Toby effectively exist on the planet for?
Well, he was in that photo. He was about 11, yes. So I think he lasted another year and a half, 2 years, but not under my wing, thank God, because I'd have probably run it into the ground.
So technically 63, 70, if we're using it, sort of 7 years per sort of canine year to equivalent in terms of life years, etc. Holly, any pets from yourself?
Yeah, I have two cats that are...
Do you know that they're the same cats that you've always had?
I'm pretty sure they are.
Well, actually, I've got a pretty morbid feline story.
Well, no, it was my grandpa when he had a rabbit, and it was during times when food was scarce. Mm. And one day he didn't have a rabbit, but he had a
rabbits are nature's fast food.
He had a very good dinner.
There you are.
So that was
which echoes fun. The classic Lou Bevan, one of our countryside correspondents, who you hopefully meet when we get around to the Lincolnshire show in the upcoming months. As he often says, is one of the world champion rabbit breeders. In this business, you're either a winner or your dinner. It's harsh, but fair. This is the bottom line. We wouldn't advocate it as a motivating force with respect to sporting events, because obviously that would be encouraging cannibalism, which might work in the Russian steppes, but maybe not here. You know, it's a different line. Whatever you might think about the Lincoln Arsenal upcoming game. Kaylee Umfraville, pets from yourself?
Yes, I have a cat and a dog.
And is the dog the same dog that you've always had, or has it?
No, we rescued him 8 years ago.
Oh.
Yeah, so.
Very
not too bad.
And would you like to name them? Because they could be listening.
Polly and Harley.
Polly and Harley. And Holly, your names for the.
Shout out to Sasha and Millie.
Nice. Are you allowed pets in Newark, or is it a case of no, we don't believe in such things?
I think it's probably best I don't. I don't tend to have the best luck with pets. They don't tend to last very long.
She says that with a maniacal laugh, as though it's almost something that she's responsible for. They don't tend to last very long.
But what kind of dog is Toby? Because I can't quite make it out. I just see white fluff.
He looks a bit of. He was a poodle of the old-fashioned kind, i.e., not a posh poodle that looks big. Yeah. He was a miniature poodle. Yeah.
I don't know if you remember my sort of lodgings whilst based there, but there was a dog called Toby there who also was a poodle, who always had great affection for one's leg. You had to peel him off. In a way where you just thought, no, please, you know, I believe he's had the operation, but he still attached himself like some sort of manic reproductive scenario there. He passed away a few years ago, obviously. It's quite strange. You always needed to have a spatula to kind of physically kind of lever him away from the whole sort of sequence. Otherwise, you know, either that or lose the leg. It's very peculiar.
Well, I have to tell you this, though. There was a hire car firm around the corner where I lived, and they had a St Bernard dog that took a liking to me, and it was more than peeling it off. It was extremely difficult to get him because he was actually almost as tall as me.
There's a time where you have to say interspecies mating has to be just parked. It has to be compartmentalised and left for another debate, for another show. Yeah, exactly. Precisely. Otherwise, you're into chimera and all sorts of things. Where exactly are you today in Jersey, Anna? Because it seems as though you're having nice little chitter-chatters, etc. Are you at home? Are you?
I'm at home. I've just walked into my home and I've got a leak under the floor, which is exciting because I don't know where in the bungalow there's a leak.
Lord
above. And I've had plumbers in and out the house for the last week and a half, and I've just seen footprints going through on a cream coloured carpet. But you know what? I'm selling up. Do I care? No.
A classic case of caveat emptor, buyer beware. But obviously, we're not giving addresses out because who knows? It might be an authentic site. You could actually sell it as a kind of water feature, a kind of indoor water feature.
Well, the irony of it, one of the plumbers who's fixing it is the guy who's going to buy the house. That's even more ridiculous.
Irony upon irony. As we head up to Edinburgh to speak to William Coles, and we've still got to squeeze Dylan Rees in, ace author, who's going to be talking about Doctor Who, The Wilderness Years. What people actually did when Doctor Who wasn't on the television. Yeah, I know. So he'll be talking about that. Who knows what William is sharing with us. But I feel it's time for Natasha to put those last two interrogatives to our Jersey correspondent and original owner of Toby.
Have you enjoyed your telephonic link with us this evening?
I have indeed, thank you.
Wonderful. And will you be joining us again next week?
Oh, I think that would be lovely. Thank you.
It's amazing. amazing the sort of things social media opens up in terms of venues and so on. And I appreciate that it has been defined as one of the reasons people are so miserable. They see so many people having fun on social media that they feel so miserable for their own lives. But when you actually see Bill Coles working at the Hotel Chocolat Cocoa Bar Cafe, and indeed watching Scotland's ugliest building gradually being razed to the ground, you have to say, Bill Coles, are you living the life of Riley or are you not?
I think Riley, yes, Muck Riley.
Yeah, exactly. So, obviously, it is Lent, clearly we would have given up cocoa, chocolate, various other bits and pieces if you happen to be of the Christian denominations. But tell us about working at the Hotel Chocolat Cocoa Bar Cafe.
Well, I used to be working there, but now, as you've seen, the St. James's Centre, where the Hotel Chocolat was, is being destroyed. And these huge clicky-like diggers are going in with their massive tweezers. And every day they come along and they take another chunk out of Scotland's ugliest building. And I guess over the next day it'll take them at least a year to take the whole thing down, and we'll be much the better for it.
Obviously no sympathy whatsoever for the loss of the self-styled ugliest building in Scotland. Harsh, I would have thought, certainly. I'm not sure what Nicola Sturgeon would actually make of that particular comment. Kayleigh, any thoughts on this one? Do you think it has Bill got a point? Have you ever visited this? Would you actually say no? I was waiting until they demolished the building before I even considered crossing the border.
Well, I think Scotland's got some good architecture in it at the moment because Edinburgh is very nice. So to get rid of an ugly building, I think, is fair play.
Fair play from our Essex girl correspondent there. Well done. And Natasha?
Yeah, was it actually ranked in... as an ugly building somewhere.
It was rank as well as ranked.
Was it actually...
I don't know. I mean, could you take my word for it? It is fantastically ugly. It's concrete, I guess it's 60s, and it's huge, and it is incredibly ugly. I don't know if they've had any surveys from architects or the rest, but it is, it's hideous.
It's interesting that 39 others like your post, including the interestingly named Robert Twigger. I should pass on no comment. Obviously, I wouldn't. Alex left you Robert Twigger, but it does sound like a creation of one of Bill Coles' wonderful sort of narrative scenarios. He'd write a story about Robert Twigger, the man. You know, Robert Twigger, the life story.
Robert Twigger is a great writer and has won the William Hill Sports Book of the Year for his book Angry White Pyjamas.
Yeah, and that's called putting your presenter in his place for not having done his research. You know, whack, slam, a slam dunk scenario. Genuinely wonderful. Bill, do you remember the time when Doctor Who wasn't on air?
No, it's been part of my life from ever since I can remember. Yeah, I remember, when I was age about six, hiding behind the sofa when the Daleks came along.
Well, there was a period, in fact, in the 90s where apart from the Doctor Who movie with Paul McGann and, of course, Daphne Ashbrook, whom you can meet in person if you happen to attend the Telefantasy in Society Stone Tape Symposium on Sunday, March the 19th at the University of Lincoln, shameless plug, well, actually, there wasn't a great deal of Who around. And we're going to be finding out from the author of that particular time, award-winning in many ways, Dylan Rees, what exactly is going to be entailed with that, which means, tragically, we're going to have to cut short the normally loquacious and perspicacious extraordinaire qualities of William Coles today as Holly, I ask you to put those last two audio punctuation question marks to the man.
Have you enjoyed your telephonic link with us today?
Yes, short and sweet, and I, of course, I have no problem at all in making way for Doctor Who.
Who? Sorry, I couldn't resist it. She used to be Dr. Watt. Carry on.
Will you be joining us again next week?
Just as soon as your host asks me.
He'll be back next week, guaranteed. We have to. It's in the William Coles sort of scenario. It's essential. William Coles will return.
Memories. just like wine. Quiet thoughts come floating down and settle softly to the ground, like gold of autumn leaves around my feet. I touch them and they burst apart with sweet memories. Sweet memories of holding hands and red bouquets and twilights trimmed in purple haze and laughing eyes and simple ways and quiet nights and gentle days with you. Memories press between the pages of my mind. Memories sweeten through the ages just like wine. Memories, memories of holding hands and red bouquets and twilights trimmed in purple haze and laughing eyes and simple ways and quiet nights and gentle days with you. Memories.
Setting a more relaxing tone for the program in many ways, and considering it's a program that's concerned with making the unusual palatable for the mainstream, Doctor Who has been to some pretty odd places in its pursuit of the peculiar, never more so than in the wilderness years that stretch between 1990 and the early 2000s, when the series was out of broadcast and its fans took stewardship of the franchise. Before, of course, any of the midweek drivettes in the studio were born in many ways, I think. Natasha, you were born in the era of the wilderness, I presume.
Yes, 1995. But I remember it coming on in the early noughties.
In the early noughties, it certainly came back. And Kaylee, likewise.
Yes,
was
97. So I was still young.
Still, and Holly?
Yeah, 97.
So. 97. So, Ace author Dylan Rees, who, just looking at your Facebook updates alone, make tremendously entertaining scenarios. In much as Downtown, the lost years of Doctor Who, we have to say welcome to the show for your debut and share with us why people should actually get a hold, just as J.R. Southall, writing in Starburst magazine, gave an ace review to Downtown, the lost years of Doctor Who. What's it all about? And welcome to the programme.
Hi, thank you for having me. So the book is really about, as you say, it's called Downtime, it's the lost years of Doctor Who. It's the wilderness period. It's about fans taking ownership of the show and forging their own careers, really, making their own amateur spin-off films and audio adventures based on the properties that they love, licensing these things and, you know, working with stars that they from their favourite TV show.
Now, I do love your Facebook update. I mean, it's worthwhile mentioning in its own way. If you've forgotten what I sound like, you could hear me talking about my book at 5:30 p.m. on this very station, sirenonline.co.uk. It appears on the podcast, which is the other address, sort of slightly later on, which is, I mentioned that from that point of view. Or you can actually hear the sound of Dylan Rees regularly on the slightly longer facebook.com blue box podcast package, which is wonderful. But Natasha, you're quite a Whovian, are you not?
Yes, well, I was certainly through the Eccleston and Tennant era, but yeah. As of late, unfortunately, I've fallen a bit off the wagon. I've been a bit disillusioned with the whole thing.
Dylan, how can you help this girl? She's fallen off the wagon and become disillusioned. Yes.
Well, I mean, you've got to keep the faith, haven't you? Some of us were there when it wasn't even on television. So, I mean, a few years while it's actually on television where maybe it's not appealing for you. But that is, you know, it's a bit of an issue. But, I mean, it's a show that constantly changes and regenerates. It's in the format. So, really, it's about, you've got to persevere. And maybe you don't like this particular incarnation of the show, not necessarily the actor. It could be the writers behind it or the directors or whatever. But eventually it will come back around to a point where most people would find something they can enjoy about it again.
Holly, do you sort of have any Who items in your blood to sort of take you way back to sort of the joys of the TARDIS and so on, which, you know, come March the 19th and the Soundtape Symposium, you'll actually say, "Oi, Daphne Ashbrook, what was it like snogging Paul McGann's Doctor?" And other questions.
Yeah, that one. Yeah,
I don't really follow it, but I do remember, when David Tennant, when he was playing, and I was terrified.
You were terrified of David Tennant?
Well, no, the things he had to fight.
The things he had to fight. It's, you should try the life of an academic at the University of Lincoln. Kaylee.
I only watched it for the first two Doctors when they came back, but I tried
Technically Doctors 9 and 10.
Yes, 9 and 10.
First two Doctors, if we're talking serious Dylan Rees material here, hardcore stuff, I'm sure Dylan will appreciate, we're talking William Hartnell and Patrick Troughton. I don't like to be a pedant, but, it's just an aspect side of the whole sort of thing. Dylan, what kind of gave you the idea to actually, because, there are a number of things that came out of that particular period, and we've spoken on previous shows with Adrian Wrigglesford, and obviously he was responsible for writing The Dark Dimension, and clearly that almost got made, almost had David Bowie as the master. You had a number of things, that was for the 30th anniversary celebrations. Virgin Books were getting well into the picture. You had Russell T. Davis writing, Lung Barrow and really carving open her routine. You had real-time pictures. There was a lot of activity going on there, which many people say since the BBC took it all back, it kind of, they lost that kind of tremendous variation. It even, if I'm not mistaken, actually brought the world Frobisher, a companion who was a penguin.
Yes, it did indeed. I mean, I think it was a time of great creativity for fans, because all of a sudden it was no longer a mainstream concern, and it was a property that wasn't being exploited properly by the BBC. It was very much sort of, for them, it was something that had finished. It was a complete body of work for them to exploit as an archive programme rather than something that you could get on television regularly. So for the fans, it was really about what keeps them entertained, and it's the sort of show that inspires creativity in people. So people were writing books, they were making films, they were licensing characters from the show to use in their own spin-off dramas. And so I was really drawn towards the ingenuity and creativity of fans to sort of keep the show going and keep it alive. And all of these things, I think, helped sort of establish a reputation for various different people, keep it alive, and had some small influence, I believe, on the revival of the show.
Did it take as a model the kind of tremendous success that fandom had brought to Star Trek? Because a kind of similar model occurred with that, where in the period between 1969 and take out the animated series and the various attempts to start to the movie in Star Trek, the motion picture emerged for 1979, there was a similar kind of package there. I mean, is it something that's unique to science fiction fans that they'll keep a show alive by writing about it and making their own adventures?
I think it is sort of unique to science fiction. But, I mean, I think anybody who's got what we'll call the fan gene, whether you're a fan of football or a fan of science fiction or drama on Radio 4 or something like that, if you're sort of dedicated and you're also a creative, I think it's a natural thing that perhaps starting out being creative, you'll write about the things you know the most, be it Doctor Who or Doctor Who-related things or Star Trek or something like that. And from there, many people do go on and, start to channel that writing into something more palatable and mainstream, I guess.
Talking about football, it's interesting. Some people have actually been writing a story in which Lincoln City reached the quarterfinals of the FA Cup. Ridiculous, nothing going to happen. In terms of comments, Sean Patrick Brady, this is all about Doctor Who, the lost years of Doctor Who, finished reading it last night. He says, superb. In two words, superb. Ian Wheeler, have a review copy of the book. It's good, believe me. Believe me, it's Ian Wheeler. And indeed, others have ordered from that point. So you can actually order it. Can you order online? Reese, Dylan, rather, I should say. Dylan Reese, very confusing. Monsieur Reese, share with us, how can people get hold of Downtime, The Lost Years of Doctor Who?
They can get hold of it from the publisher's website, which is adversebooks.co.uk, or it is on all the big websites like Amazon and Waterstones and things like that. It's all you need to do is Google it, really, but I would send people to the publisher's website.
And Dylan, what do you do when you're not checking out New York or indeed putting up Facebook pages with Another Day at the Office, which sounds as though you're about to, or looks as though you're just about to engage in some sort of satanic ritual there? We're thinking, what?
Well,
what?
I'm not a Satanist or anything.
Glad you
like
said
that,
Dylan. We don't like them. It's not that we're against them, but it's just we don't have them on the show. It's quite understandable.
I work in video production and film as a freelance production manager and producer. Again, it was sort of inspired by things like Doctor Who and the spin-offs, where it was, very much things that seeing how these things were made and learning about them through various documentaries and behind the scenes sort of articles in the magazines and stuff that made me sort of choose this path. So,
and pray tell, because I did share this in our research, obviously via social media, what exactly are you doing flat on your back in an image which basically sort of is not the most flattering, it has to be said, is it, Natasha? Not the most flattering.
There are more flattering positions, I think, could be found in.
It's like he's seeking regeneration, but his energy has just dropped. You know, it's gone completely.
Someone's taken the Duracell batteries out of him.
He can't even say the moment has been prepared for. You know, it's ridiculous.
Yes, that was, well, you've obviously done your research. That was, you know, when Facebook does these timeline things, remind you of many years ago. Yeah. That was from my student days at a party. Yeah. And apparently I just fell asleep. But there was nowhere else to sleep at the house, so I just slept on the floor. And
London Metropolitan Student Party Time.
Yes. Many years ago.
Doesn't happen at the University of Lincoln, does it, girls?
No.
Exactly. They were very, very firm in that particular region. Dylan, it's been fabulous. Just touching base with your good self. Have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic debut on the Midweek Drive today? Has it been okay for you, sir?
It's been fantastic. Thank you very much for having me.
It deserves a round of applause. A round of applause for Dylan Reese, please. Yay. And will you be kind enough to return and connect with us again and share with us some more adventures in terms of time and space? Respect to Dylan Reese. Probably sharing. You could compare and contrast your media experience with Holly and Kaylee as they're reading media production at the University of Lincoln. It could be a whole new connection, couldn't
it? For sure.
Yeah, exactly.
Any time you need me, just you've got me on Facebook, you've got my phone number, so just give me a shout.
Well, there you go.
Soul searching.